CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Byron Nelson said, "Only those who dare to fail greatly can ever achieve greatly." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two guests who achieve and dare greatly. Our first playmaker began his career in the restaurant industry at age 15, washing dishes. Well, our next playmaker began his career as a diagnostic sales rep for Abbott Labs. With us today, a CEO who originally was going to temporarily run his company, and 27 years later, he's still CEO. Well, our next CEO's company provides retailers and marketers with customer loyalty data card solutions that incrementally drive sales. These great playmakers are Mark Parmalee. Mark is president and CEO of Golden Chick. And Bill Hunter. Bill is CEO of Valerian Technologies, and we're going to begin today's show with Bill. Bill Hunter is CEO of Valerian Technologies, as I mentioned, formerly Signature Card. They're a leading plastic card company that supplies businesses of all sizes with unique gift cards, swipe cards, plastic ID cards, and more. Valerian Technologies offers full-service design, production, personalization, custom printing, and data management for gift, promotional, loyalty, and membership card programs to strengthen consumer engagement. Valerian Technologies is expanding beyond gift and loyalty card programs to direct mail and data management services. It's also on the hunt for like-minded companies to acquire or to merge with as part of a quest to grow revenues from $12 million a year now to the $30 to $40 million range over the next couple of years. We'll find out more about that as we talk to Bill. Bill, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. You were a poli-sci major, and you went to the University of New Hampshire. Now you're CEO of Valerian Technologies. So give us a short background of your successful career going from poli-sci and then to sales and to purchasing your first and now your second company.
I'd be happy to. I went to the University of New Hampshire and graduated with a degree, and I was happy with that. But I didn't know exactly what I was going to do
after
that.
Well, let me ask you this. Why poli-sci at the time?
Well, I was interested in actually international politics, and my career did not take me that direction. So that's kind of where I started.
Then what was the next move? Were you looking for something to do because you weren't quite sure?
I was not sure what I was going to do, and my father was in sales and said, "Son, this is a great way to earn a living." And so I started in sales with a large Fortune 500 company, Abbott. And it was a very dynamic environment. So we were selling diagnostic kits to hospitals and blood banks. I enjoyed that, got some great training, switched to another industry, which was the financial printing, where kind of my printing background got started. And they essentially sold printing services to companies going public and offering debt offerings and things like that. I saw some entrepreneurial people that took their companies public. It really interested me. I got excited about the entrepreneurial part of what these people had who started a company, and then maybe 10 years later actually were taking them public. So with the idea that I was going to get into that, I looked around for companies to buy. It took me a long time. Probably 3 or 4 years to find something, and I bought a company in Chicago that was in printing, but was flexographic printing for flexible packaging.
Now, that was in Chicago. You're originally from Chicago, but R.R. Donnelly, if I'm correct, brought you back to Chicago?
Correct, yes.
Prior to purchasing that company. You had that how long?
I had that 16 years, so quite a long time. It was longer than I was expecting to be doing that. Sort of an entrepreneurial family that was in banking. So I was expecting to probably move on to something else or grow it bigger. But it was a learning experience. I had some tough knocks on the way, but enjoyed what I was doing, enjoyed working with people, enjoyed building teams. And
Well, at that point, you developed that company for 16 years. You then sold it.
Yes, we grew it, purchased another company. in the similar industry, and then ultimately I sold it.
Now, Valerian Technologies' signature cars at the time, did you know you were going to purchase that, or did you have an interim in between both companies?
I had no idea I was going to purchase that. I actually was at that point in Chicago, and I thought, well, I'll take a little time off, and it didn't take very long. I think a lot of people find very quickly that they don't want to not be doing anything after they've had the privilege to run a company. So I quickly looked at other opportunities. I looked at in Chicago, then I looked at within 100 miles of Chicago, then I looked at an hour flight within Chicago, and then a 2 hours flight, and ultimately Signature Card came up on the radar, and it took a little while for us to get to the close, but we did, and then we had that for about a year. That was 2014, I believe. No, actually 2012, excuse me. And we bought another division of a company down here, Performance Card, and merged those two and then moved into a new building.
That's what I want to talk about in a moment, but let's talk about what Valerian Technologies is, because I think it's really interesting, and it's probably something that most people listening probably have at home or in their wallet or in their pocket. They have one of your cards. Tell us what your business does and what you do.
Okay, we are a company that supplies. We actually have two products, one new product. But the first product that the company has on a legacy format has had is closed-loop gift and loyalty cards. So those would be cards that you would go to a counter at a store, a restaurant, and you'd be purchasing those cards. So we produce the plastic itself. Then we actually take the encoded data and put it on the mag stripe or put barcodes there. And so those cards are distributed throughout throughout their whole group of stores. And so there's gift cards and loyalty, and those have grown pretty dramatically. The loyalty is more or less flattened out. The gift cards still have a lift, and it's very profitable for restaurants. And then we also supply different processors with cards that go into kiosks in different retail stores.
Now, your business is growing because you said you purchased a second company a couple of years ago, and then you rebranded yourself from Signature Cards to Valerian Technologies. Tell us why you bought that company and what the new products are that you're developing.
Right. They had some very specific technologies in printing, lenticular, optochrome, some cards that the printing would actually have a feel to it, so it'd have an interesting touch. So on a retail basis, having that distinguishes you from other cards, especially if you're in a kiosk. So they had some very good customers and this technology, and so it made a good fit. That it was a good. They were exiting this business. It was a good fit for us.
So how has that impacted your business?
We've grown with their customers, and it allowed us to add greater capacity. We moved into a new building, I think, as I mentioned earlier, and then we've been able to add some strong salespeople that allowed us to grow with into some new areas. But we really still want to focus closely on Dallas-Fort Worth. That's our core business market.
How is the market? How is Dallas-Fort Worth for Valerian Technologies?
I can't imagine being in a better place than Dallas-Fort Worth. It's growing. There are everything from huge Fortune 500 companies moving here to dot-coms to all kinds of restaurant chains that have moved here that are growing, expanding. So it's really a great place to have a business because there's just a natural growth within our current customers, and then there's customers coming in all the time.
Now, you're moving more into direct mail, which has been probably in the downslide because of the internet and everything digital. How is the direct mail business for you right now, and is that something that's going to grow for you?
Yes. We had always felt that there was a product that would make sense for us. Gift cards are very similar to other direct mail pieces in that there's a perceived value. So we have a laminated card. It's essentially a postcard that would come in the mail, And within that, there's a pop-out card in there that would offer some very good discounts or incentives to come into the store. Generally, most direct mail has a response rate of 3 to 5%. This card can have double that. Actually, it can be up even up to 30% if we're using the right data in terms of finding the right demographics for that individual restaurant or store. Great response rate, good return for the restaurant or store. And we've also introduced something a little bit different in that for smaller or medium-sized companies or stores, retail outlets, we actually have a website where you can go and do everything on the website. So you'd be able to order the artwork. You can use our artwork or download your own artwork. You can choose the data or essentially the demographics that you want, the area around your store or stores, and then pay online. And the service also offers us the ability to trace what went out in the U.S. mail and what got delivered and what didn't, and then give follow-up information as to who the people that received the information, who actually got into the store and bought, and then we can give some ideas to the demographics of their buyers. So it actually helps them determine who their customers are and add to that in each location.
Well, you mentioned, as we were talking about direct mail a few moments ago, as high as 33%. Now, I've heard of direct mail as low as 0.5% to 1%. And if you're bringing customers that large a return, this pays for itself very quickly, more than pays for itself. Your customers are probably very happy.
Right. We actually had it's a company that's a nursery, and they were so overrun with new business that they've decided the next time they do this, they're going to do it in three different tranches so that they're prepared with the number of people that come in the store. So it's interesting because millennials find this card the postcard very interesting and respond to it. Just because of the different look, it stands out in the mail when you get it, and I think it has a very good future in the short term.
Well, if you can get millennials tied into it, you've got the ones that are spending money right there. Well, tell everybody how they can find out more about Valerian Technologies.
You can come to our website, www.valerian-tech.com. Or you can call us. I would prefer to have you call in 972-783-7600 and talk to our sales crew there. They're ready to take calls. That would be, the best ways to get in touch with us.
Well, good. And it's all on our website, too, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Bill, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Based on what I just heard, you definitely are a playmaker. Bill Hunter is CEO of Valerian Technologies. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We're going to speak with the president and CEO of Golden Chick. We're going to talk chicken with Mark Parmalee. Back with Mark right after this.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat, donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. We're here with another playmaker. We're going to talk chicken with Mark Parmalee. He's the CEO of Golden Chick. Now, Mark began his career, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, in the restaurant industry at only 15 years old, washing dishes. Mark worked in the hospitality and commercial real estate industries until an old acquaintance asked him to become the operating partner of Golden Chick, which was then known as Golden Fried Chicken. That was back in March of 1989. Mark agreed to join Golden Chick while they were filing for bankruptcy. Now, founded almost 50 years ago in San Marcos, Golden Chick is a family-oriented, quick-service restaurant that prides itself on perfecting its golden fried chicken, golden roast chicken, and golden tenders, along with offering a variety of other chef-inspired menu items. The Golden Chick restaurant chain has more than 160 locations throughout Texas, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Pakistan. Now, Mark eventually became president and CEO of the company, even though he originally intended this position to be temporary. And now, 27 years later, he's still the president, and his children are all involved in the company as well. A lot to talk about. Mark, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's nice to be here with you.
Glad to have you here. You have a couple of stories about yourself, and there's also a story about Golden Chick. So tell us the Golden Chick story, the Mark Parmalee story, and how the two actually came together.
Okay. Well, in 1967, Golden Fried Chicken was founded by a man named Howard Walker, who had worked for another chicken chain and thought he could do a little better job. It was a very simple menu. Fried chicken, mashed potatoes, coleslaw, biscuits at the time, and soft drinks, and that was it. I'm not sure he really knew what franchising was, but people approached him, and so from there the company grew.
So apparently it was doing well if they came to him asking to franchise his operation.
Yes, it was, and probably grew a little faster than he thought. And he, much like Ray Kroc, he became an entrepreneur later in life. And so it was growing fast and going well, and someone approached him, and he agreed to sell the company. And unfortunately, it was timing and some other issues. The company went really in the wrong direction. But
so that was prior to 89.
That was prior to 89, which, you know, sometimes someone's misfortune becomes someone else's opportunity. So we actually were able to buy the company out of bankruptcy and found had a very solid base of franchisees, a lot of small towns. I was on an airplane to Mexico one day, and I looked and saw my picture in the Dallas Morning News and saying something about the Walmart of chicken. The story up above was announcing the death of Sam Walton, of the founder of Walmart, so by, you know, purely by coincidence. But we have about half of our stores in towns of less than 20,000 people, and that was really where it started, being a big fish in a small pond, and then have since grown an infield, again, much like Walmart, that started in the smaller towns and the suburbs, and then infilled later. So, you know, for example, in DFW, we now have 65 stores. In
that's more than
just,
a third.
Yes, are in the Dallas-Fort Worth TV market and growing. So,
and if you have that many concentrated together, you can your advertising dollars go farther too.
Oh, absolutely.
Than having one or two stores.
Yes, absolutely. So,
It's interesting that I looked at your background, that you have executives that actually own franchises too. So you're actually keeping in the Golden Chick family. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it's interesting because at first I was hesitant to that because I thought maybe there was some kind of conflict of interest. And then a friend at another chain explained what he had done and the benefits of that. So I helped a couple of our executives become franchisees. And it's been fantastic because now our franchisees view these executives as really one of them, you know, as opposed to, you know, somebody sitting in a corporate office spending their money.
They're just not the suits.
That's exactly right. So
they're one of them now.
Yes, yes.
Well, as I mentioned at the very beginning, you started wasn't the direct route for you, but you started washing dishes at 15. You were in the restaurant business. You then wanted to go another direction. So tell us about starting in the restaurant business, where you went next and how you actually ended up purchasing Golden Schick.
Sure. It was interesting because I got in the restaurant business really for the money. At 15, I was saving money to buy a car. And I enjoyed it. So when a new restaurant would open in town, I'd go put in an application. And I didn't really care what the position was. I didn't care what the pay was, oddly enough. And I wanted to learn about different pieces. So I went from being a dishwasher and kind of worked my way up the line. And then I went to another restaurant and started as a busboy became a waiter. And then a Steak and Ale opened in town, and all they had was busboy, so back to busboy. But eventually I worked my way up to kitchen manager while I was still in high school. I only had one credit to take, and so I got that out of the way.
You were young then as a manager.
Yes, yes. In fact, they liked what I did and said, well, why don't you skip college? You can become an opening kitchen manager for us. And even though the money seemed good at the time, a little parental influence suggested that, you know, you're going to college. So I started off to thinking I was going to be a real estate attorney, and after a year I really missed the restaurant business, and so I transferred to the hotel school at Cornell and got a degree in hospitality and was exposed to not only hotels but restaurant classes and everything in construction, finance, and all related to the hospitality industry. And then I had an opportunity to come to Dallas and worked for an accounting firm, of all things, Leventhal & Horwath, that did a lot of hotel and restaurant feasibility studies. And so I came on as a consultant there. And I considered it a grad school that I got paid for, and I was just at the right place at the right time. Clients such as Trammell Crowe and John Ulick and some other...
Learning from the masters.
Yeah, some very, you know, heavyweight guys, and so it was in the Hunt family as well, so it was interesting.
You've you had a lot of successes taking the company out of bankruptcy back in 1989 to today, 27 years or so. But you also had some obstacles along the way too, specifically some health obstacles. How did that impact what you're doing as you're running Golden Schick?
Well, yeah, as they say, there's not many things that are a straight line. So, and my health was one of those. And so I ended up with hepatitis. They figure at that I got it at a dental clinic at Cornell, of all things. And so it kind of ate away for a while. And I ended up with two liver transplants. And then later a heart attack. And so it was... yeah, it was a challenge, and there were a great many years there where I had had been in the hospital. I had really basically had checked out of the company. I had turned it over to other people, but I bounced back. I'm, you know, really very fortunate. And it's, they kind of view me as a miracle. The doctors at one point said, we're not sure why you almost died. Then they said, we're not sure why you didn't die. And now we have absolutely no idea why you do so well now.
And you look good now. For those of you who can't see, see Mark, he's a picture of health. That tells me that you hired some very good people, because if you had to back away and they had to take over, you put some very good people in place.
Yeah, I was fortunate. I guess we all learn from different places, different things. We see things, we hear things. I had one phrase that stuck with me, and it was, people work 8 hours for a paycheck and 24 hours for a cause. And Steve, that really landed on me. And so I have used that in trying to create a culture where everybody's, in essence, an owner, in a sense, and everyone's treated with respect. And it's, you know, we're the little guy that's getting a little bigger over time. And so I've used that in the way of culture. And yeah, it's fascinating to me. And I'm so appreciative of the team because I have a great many people at the corporate level and even at the general manager level at the stores who have been with us for decades. It's great. I'm very fortunate.
Well, the question I was going to ask you was about the success you've had from 89 to today. So you've basically answered that. You've had some good people. Is there anything else that that caused you to have the success you've had with Golden Schick over the years?
Well, you know, I think we do a lot of research for a company of our size. We look, we listen. We're a small enough company that there's really a lot of cross-training, a lot of cross-pollinization, a lot of great communication. We very early on set up a president's council, the majority of which are made up of franchisees. Mm-hmm. And I told them early on, as long as they don't vote to lower the royalty percentage, I'm apt to take on anything that they suggest, and that's really pretty much the way it's worked. We've had some lively debates, but we've worked, you know, hand in hand with the franchisees, and we've adopted a few things along the way. For example, we don't mark any products up, so even though we will buy for the whole chain, unlike some franchisors, we just say we're not going to mark up anything. We're not going to take a rebate or a kickback or whatever you would want to call it. And so whenever possible, we try to eliminate the old them versus us, which can often happen in franchising. And I think we've been successful at creating a culture where, we're all on the same side, and our competition's not within it. It's, you know, out there in the marketplace.
Well, with as many locations as you have in the DFW area, tell everybody how they can find out more about Golden Schick.
Well, they can go on www.goldenschick.com. It's got a listing of all of our locations, those that have been recently opened and those that are in the pipeline, and of which I think there's over 25 right now, including more in Pakistan.
that's wonderful. You're going worldwide. Mark, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
With what you've done, you're also definitely a playmaker. Mark Parmalee is president and CEO of Golden Schick. Our first guest was Bill Hunter. Bill is CEO of Valerian Technologies. This has been a terrific show. Thank you to our guests for being Playmakers. Thank you very much for listening. Join us also at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.